Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on Hump Day. Final hour for us. Final hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We'll get back into the big story of the day in just a couple of minutes from right now. Mark Schlereth going to join us at 1:20, our Odyssey NFL insider. Talk some Falcons and Cowboys with him and some other big stories from around the league as well, including Anthony Richardson, no longer the starter in Indy. And the answers that their coach has given about it just don't make it sound like he's going to be the starter ever.
Nope.
So he's probably available via trade. Now, I don't know if anybody's going to do that.
Trey Lance him like how Trey Lance was?
But maybe somebody goes and does it now just to get ahead of it. I don't know. But that's pretty wild how quickly that sort of came to an end there in Indy. And then we'll get to an AMA at 140 as we always do.
Mm-mm, yeah, they ass in trouble, Bunk. They coming for their money, man. JP Morgan Chase. They coming for the money. You remember the glitch?
Yeah,
they coming for their money.
They
taking legal action against them, the people that took the money and everything like that.
That was the one that the Chase card.
Yeah.
That people were live streaming.
Yes, is that the total amount disputed exceeds $661,000 with one individual.
Oh, in one instance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Up to, and then also 290,000, so many numbers, so forth and so on.
Okay.
But yeah, they're coming for their money. They're coming for your asses.
Yeah, they do usually.
Yeah, they're coming for you.
Especially
now,
when it's digital like that. Like
when the
armored truck rolled over on 285.
Remember that?
I would have probably picked some money up and kept driving.
Andy, I would have caused the backup.
Yeah,
I would have been hazard light.
It would have been like one of those, you know, it's like one of those little glass boxes they put people in, and the money blows all over the place.
That's how
I would have been scooping money into all my pockets.
Yeah, they come in to get you, Chase people.
Yep.
Thought they all would get them folk money. Now,
you probably didn't think that far in advance.
No,
really. Maybe you did. I don't know. I'm not trying to undersell the intelligence of the credit card scamming community, but
we're in a scamming ass city.
Oh, and a scamming ass era.
Yeah, we're in a scamming ass city, the scamming ass era,
especially as it relates to credit cards.
Yeah,
and we probably have some credit card scammers listening to us right now. Do whatever, okay?
Yeah.
Do your thing. I just feel like a place like them, JP Morgan Chase,
they coming to get them.
They got pretty smart cybersecurity people.
Yeah.
They're gonna track you down.
They coming to get their money.
$600,000 is no small amount.
If you stole $600,000 with a glitch, you probably already spent it. So they're gonna take that damn Ferrari that you bought.
They're
gonna take the Ferrari that's parked outside of the trap house.
Because that's an amount of money. Like, I'm not trying to sneeze at $600,000, but you can't disappear with $600,000.
No,
you can't just end up on an island somewhere that you own.
No, they're gonna take them tattoos off your ass. All right? And they're gonna go find that damn stripper that you made it rain on. They finna cancel her tuition to nursing school. Because he went goddamn Ferrari, a Jesus piece,
couple tats,
and a Ferrari. Yep, and a Ferrari with high ass interest rate. I put $100,000 down.
And a couple semesters paid for over at Georgia State.
Yeah. Chance out of here. Yep, they're coming to get their bread.
Yeah, they want it. And we're on it back. Speaking of tattoos, we did get a little a little message from one of our listeners. Our jailhouse tat insider lets us know that they definitely have baby oil in jail. Because that's how you make jailhouse tats. I don't know any part of the process or any of the details to that. Simply reading you a DM that I got from Instagram.
There we go.
Yeah, so there you go.
All right.
Apparently they do have
that
in there.
I mean, any way you can make a hustle.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure, because I know people that went out clean and came out with 40 tattoos on them.
Yep.
So they get them somehow.
Coming from somewhere.
They get them somehow, them jailhouse tats.
Did not know that.
Yeah. I didn't either.
And I still don't know that. That might not be true. I didn't verify that information whatsoever. I just read it in my DMs and then spouted it off in the airwaves. So it might not be true, but it might be. You know?
I have no clue. I know they, because guy come out there with no tattoos, and then they come out, his whole face got tattoos over it. Coming out, been locked up 10 years. Came out with 40 tattoos, so it does happen. Are you really Googling that?
Jailhouse tats baby oil. I just Googled. Sounds like it.
Okay.
Yeah. Soap, baby oil, chess pieces have been used.
Chess pieces.
Maybe you melt them down. I really don't know.
For the
really
ink.
Really not sure.
For the ink.
Really not sure.
Okay.
But it's true.
Chess pieces, really.
You gotta make do.
You're sitting in a damn jail cell. You got all the time in the world to think of stuff.
Got to come up with something.
You got all the time in the world. Chess piece. Melt it down.
Probably just the black ones.
Yeah, I would assume.
I mean, maybe, I don't know.
They have white tattoos?
I don't know. Really?
I don't know.
All right. Get to the big story of the day. Kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by QC Kinetics. Non-surgical treatment for joint pain. Bow!
I think the message kind of evolves just based on week to week, who you're playing, what you're doing, how you want to go out there and get these guys going, what it takes to win, all the different things you want to talk about. So the message is constantly evolving. For these guys, you know, they're kind of sticking to the strategy that they want to go out there and win football games, and they want to win it in the correct way, in the correct fashion, and they've been doing that, and they've been doing a nice job of doing those things. Whether it's been tough games, whatever the case may be, they found out and learned how to finish. And I think that's really important for this team, and I think that's important for our organization just in general.
That makes sense. I would imagine the message will be slightly different week to week given who the opponent is.
Yeah.
He also said preseason member, everyone wants to know, like, what's the identity of the team going to be? Like, what's the motto? What do you want it to be like? What do you think it has become? Offense, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. It is a offensively
driven team. That's the identity
team.
Of it.
Yeah, the team, the identity of this team is his offense.
Yeah.
It's quarterback and his offense. And we kind of figured that would it be, because you don't pay a $100 million quarterback and not be the identity to be an identifiable defensive team.
Right.
You know, a lot of times,
You don't pay a quarterback like that to come in. And look, I mean, they were pretty clear about the reasoning as well. Like, as bad as the quarterback had been the last couple of years, you just couldn't stand for that anymore. And then they doubled down on it by also drafting a quarterback in the top 10, too, just to make sure 100% we're not going back to where we were the last couple of seasons. It also makes sense when you add to that the fact that they've drafted skill position players in the first round 3 years before that as well.
Exactly.
The running back, a wide receiver, and a tight end.
Yes.
I think it really helps given the way that tight end has played the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, man.
Kyle Pitts has been playing really well.
Yeah, and it goes back to a lot of what Arch said. We had Dave Archer on earlier today, and he was talking about Kyle just being more aggressive, wanting the ball more. And then I think the one thing, and we talked about it on Monday, is that what you saw from him is what we thought it would be. When he gets the ball, you're not catching him. You know, he's going to be able to stiff arm you and get away from you. And that's what he did on both those touchdowns.
Yeah.
But I think it's key because it seems like it's coming early, too. They're trying to get him involved early, keeping him engaged and everything like that. And it kind of opens up everything, especially if teams are trying to take away Drake the way Tampa was. And so you're looking at it from a standpoint, they say, well, we'll figure out a way to take away five, but 8-1, we could cover them 1-on-1. And Moody's been working, too.
Yes, he's been awesome.
Too.
Yeah, it feels like a pick your poison offense.
Yeah.
And when they decide to do that, then you can go with those guys. Bijan and Algier on the ground as well. So hopefully it continues and it has an opportunity to this Sunday at home against the Cowboys at 1 o'clock. Just to sort of circle back on something we started the show with, those Yankee fans aren't going to be allowed to be at the game tonight.
They said the MLB axed the Yankees not to.
Oh, it hasn't. It's not official.
Yeah,
official.
I read. Now, it was the same ESPN guy.
Okay.
He said MLB has asked the Yankees not to let them in.
Okay.
So
now it's on the Yankees to step up.
Now it's definitely on the Yankees.
And say, we can't allow that.
Yeah, man.
Can't allow that to happen in games that we're supposedly in charge of.
Yeah.
So, all right. Ball's in your court.
Yeah, ball. I mean, who knows, man? Got another jailhouse thing.
It says, good.
Okay, you use the clear ink.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Clear ink pen for the ink and the paper clip to outline. Okay, so you use a paper clip. That's what you outline the tat with.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So like when you're carving a pumpkin, you take like the little marker and draw the picture first, and then you get in there with the
Okay. Makes sense. Makes a lot.
You guys carve any pumpkins this year?
Are we about there? Because usually today they go up to Miss Libby's house and carve pumpkins at Libby and Bob's house. But I mean, we got this. Told you, she went and got one of them big ass pumpkins because they went to the pumpkin patch when we got back.
They got the big Burt's pumpkin patch.
That thing is
pumpkin.
So damn big.
Yeah.
Like I had to get it out the car and had to carry it all the way down the walkway to the front door.
Yeah.
That thing is big as hell. And so I'm asking her, what are you going to do with this thing after tomorrow? I don't know.
Cut it open.
Cut open to what?
Eat the seeds.
Anybody eat no damn pumpkin seeds?
I got a batch of pumpkin seeds in my oven as we speak.
You remember the little boy yesterday talking about why he wanted to be a bear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that a white thing?
I don't know.
Oh. We're the only ones out here eating pumpkin seeds?
I know. I don't eat no damn pumpkin seeds.
Okay.
I know. I ain't never ate no pumpkin seeds.
Have you tried them?
Huh?
Have you tried it?
What am I trying to pumpkin seeds for? I don't eat pumpkin.
At home.
I don't eat pumpkin.
I don't know. Every year we would do that. Like, you gut the pumpkin, uh-huh. You put the seeds out, you let it dry, and then the next day you kind of toss it some olive oil and some salt, bake them up. You got a little pumpkin seed.
Some, like, Cajun seasoning
or you could season them up. Yeah. Put a little cayenne on there.
Y'all get too excited about these damn pumpkin seeds.
So good.
You only get them once a year.
Ain't no damn pumpkin.
That's right.
That pumpkin been outside for 3 days.
Well, the seeds are inside.
But it could get spoiled, don't it?
How long do you think the cow that you eat's been outside for?
It don't matter. I cooked that cow.
6 years, probably.
I cooked that cow, though.
You got to cook
pumpkin
seeds.
Well, we're cooking the seeds. I'm not telling you to eat the slimy seed fresh out of the pumpkin.
No, you got
to
bake them.
Oh, no, I'm good on that, dog. I'm squared away on that
one,
bro.
It's a tasty treat. Telling you.
Yeah, I ain't going to eat no damn pumpkin. And I'm not saying it's not a thing.
It's good.
I'm sure it is. The way both face lights up.
I know, but that didn't disprove your original theory, though, because we're both, you know. You got it?
Yeah.
Everybody left, so we can't ask anybody else around here.
Like, I don't eat no damn pumpkin seed.
Where's Dylan?
Well, Orr to be here in a minute. Congratulations to my dog, too, man.
Yeah.
Congratulations
to my
boy,
seeds.
Orin. Speaking of seeds.
Orin's having number two.
Damn, Gardner Orin. Call him Gardner.
yes, congratulations to Orin and his lovely wife. They are expecting their second.
Love it.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. All right. Mark Schlereth is going to join us next. He's our Odyssey NFL insider. We'll get his thoughts on how the Falcons are playing. Certainly ask him about the Falcons and Cowboys game coming up on Sunday as well, and as many of the other big stories from around the league as we can get to. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Final hour of the midday show with Andy and Randy, brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. 20 minutes away from the AMA. Any question, any topic, we'll get the phone lines open. 120 on Wednesdays. Me and Mark Schlereth joins the show, our Odyssey NFL insider. Hosted the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May yo game day be delicious. Mark, how are you? And the Cowboys coming to town on Sunday. Let me just ask you, like, a big picture 8-game snapshot. Where do you see the Falcons in terms of the NFC hierarchy?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. I would put them, like, obviously I think the Lions are probably the best team in football for me. Just watching them on film, I just think from a talent standpoint, they got so much talent. Obviously we'll see Aiden Hutchinson and if they replace him or how they replace him. You know, how that defense changes just from a, you know, complexity standpoint and how you create a pass rush and all that kind of stuff. So I would say them. I think the Eagles are the next most talented team in football or in the NFC. I think they're really, I think they're really solid that way. You know, offensively right now, Jalen Hurts is now in, I think, 4 straight games without turning the ball over. That's been a big issue for them. They got their weapons on the outside back. Saquon has been unbelievable for them. So they still have a top 7 defense as well. So as currently constructed, like, I think those two teams are neck and neck. I think Green Bay potentially with all the turnovers they create, all the things that they would be right there. So then I would say then it would come down to a grouping of Atlanta, you know, San Francisco, a lot of injuries, but I feel like they're going to get guys back healthy. So I'd probably put them after Detroit, after Philadelphia, and after the Packers, right in that next realm with Washington, even though they're 6-2, Washington, kind of San Francisco, all those kind of teams right there.
What do you think, how far, Slayer? Because I'm not saying they need to have 100 sacks, but the Falcons are one of the worst teams as far as putting the quarterback on the actual ground. With that being said, how far do you think you can go with a lackluster pass rush that they have? Even though they got those good those playmakers in the back end, but yet still the lack of pass rush.
Yeah, you got to – you know, it's we make so much out of sacks, and I get that they're important, but pressures – like, if you can pressure the opponent's quarterback, make the guy move off. Yeah, make the guy move off his spot and all those things. So then it comes down to, if you can't do any of that you know, with a 4-man rush, or if you bring a 5th guy in, then you have to start designing. One of the big things that you watch on tape every week now with a bunch of different teams is, you know, the simulated pressures, right? Where you're bringing a DB off a slot, and you know, and you're dropping out the opposite side defensive end, so you're running, you know, what we call zone blitz or simulated pressures, and you know, all that kind of stuff, and that stuff has its place, it has its purpose, it's good, but there's nothing that will ever affect the offense more than having a couple war daddies across the line of scrimmage from you, where you're going, dude, we got to double team that guy. We got to double team that guy. We can't let that guy beat us. Like, that's a nightmare for an offense. So, where do I think they can go? I think they can go to the playoffs. Do I think they compete for a championship without a legitimate pass rush? No, probably not.
Dallas comes to town on Sunday. Obviously, 3-4 on the year, not playing great. A lot of injuries. What's the game plan for attacking Dallas and coming away with a win on Sunday?
You got to have that. Just run the football. If you can run the football, like, you look at Dallas, and it's historic when they put a running back and an offense that's committed to running the ball, they just get absolutely curb stomped when that's the case. And you can go through all their losses here in recent years with a team that just wants to run the football, and it's astronomical type of numbers. Now, I would say that that's probably the key. And you guys got a pairing of backs back there that I would say probably only second to the two guys in Detroit with Robinson and with Algier. So, like, I think that's probably the case. And then ultimately, if you can do that defensively, you just have to shut down 88. CeeDee Lamb, Dak to CeeDee Lamb, that's their offense, and we're a wrap. They can't run the ball. They don't protect particularly well. They don't have anybody else that makes a play. I mean, they're a pretty sad group. And then Jerry Jones comes out and says, hey, you know what, I could see a storybook finish. Like, I could see that happening to us. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, you're just hoping right now. Like, there's no actionable plan. Like, hope is not a strategy. Like, everybody else you watch is actually, I don't know, making moves and trying to increase the level of player they have on their roster and try to add a piece. And you're just going, man, I think that, magic might strike and we might become really good. I don't understand the philosophy other than you're not planning on doing anything this year.
I think the biggest story coming out now is this whole thing that's going on in Indianapolis with Anthony Richardson. I'm old school. You're way, way older school and everything. I ain't never seen a quarterback tap out before, Steak. But what do you think about necessarily that, but the benching also? Do you think it's more attributed to tapping out or because of his play? Because he was playing bad also.
Yeah, well, I think it's because of his bad play, but ultimately – I mean, you can't have somebody that stupid playing quarterback for you. Like, you get, like, dude, stand in front of the podium and lie.
Yes,
like,
I mean, gotta
lie. Hurt my hip, right? My back locked up, whatever. Yep. But, like, we always want our athletes to tell us the truth until they tell us the truth. And right. You're like, oh, my God, that guy's a moron.
Exactly.
There might be two of the stupidest things I ever saw this weekend were him tapping out of a game because he said, and then stand in front of the podium and said, I'm not going to lie to you, I got tired. Like, that might be the only way that gets trumped is by Matt Eberflus thinking that having a guard run a dive on the goal line was a good idea. Like, first off, I played guard, right? Or center guard. Like, my fingers and my hands were so beat up. Like, when I was sitting on the couch, I'd be home, you know, ice on my knees or whatever, and one of my kids would come run to jump in my lap. I'd be like, daddy's fingers, don't touch daddy's fingers, you know? Your hands hurt so bad. So you got your hands, your fingers all taped up, your hands all taped up, you got wrist guards on, right? Your hands are in gloves, you got elbow sleeves on. Yes, I got a good feel for the ball. Not only did you call the play in the game, but you actually practiced that garbage. Like, you did that in goal line period and thought, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's get a really fat guy who never holds on to the ball or never actually touches the ball during the game and give him the carry. It could be, I mean, that's a fireable offense, in my opinion. That you can't be that. I would just be like, if I'm the owner, I'm just going, yeah, it turns out you're too stupid to coach for us, so we're going to go ahead and relieve you of that duty right now.
That would be an amazing meeting to be a fly on the wall for. Do you, as an offensive lineman, do you watch any of what the Lions do and get jealous at all? Because they love to get those offensive linemen into the end zone.
I don't get jealous because I know my skill set.
Exactly.
I'm coming off downhill. Don't ask me to catch it. Don't ask me to carry it. Like, no, that's not. But they're so talented. Here's what's beautiful about them. And I always say this about Dan Campbell. He plays the role of meathead very well.
Yes.
You know, he acts like he's stupid. And that dude is really, he's a really smart human, really smart football coach, and really super aware. And one of the things about them as a football team is, man, they are so good and they execute so well and they're so sold out for one another. And like, I put a piece of tape on the TV show Breakfast Ball this morning where they run a little, just a little handoff. It's like a 9-yard handoff. And three receivers, they're in like a 3-by-1, like I would call it speed trips with a tight end to the opposite side. And it was all three of their wide receivers, Allen Robinson, it was Amon Ross St. Brown and Timmy Patz. And just, one of them hit a linebacker, one of them hit a safety screaming down, one of them was on a corner. And they locked all three of those dudes up, and it was just a clear sailing to the corner for about a 9-yard run before the running back got forced out of bounds. Man, there are very few teams that have one guy that plays wide receiver that's willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They got three guys out there just dispensing justice. And, you know, I texted Dan Campbell about it, and he just says to me, he goes, dude, we've got a bunch of hard-nosed football players that are completely unselfish. And it's a testament to Dan Campbell and his coaching, the way those guys play for him and the way they play for one another. And so you look at what they do. And then the other thing, you talk about offensive linemen scoring touchdowns and stuff. They are so good and they execute so well that one of the big things as a coach when you're really that skilled, and my Denver teams did this all the time. My coach used to say this all the time. One of my biggest jobs is to make sure you guys don't get bored.
Yep.
Because we're so good on offense that I want to keep you guys engaged at all times. Mm. And they're keeping everybody engaged. I guarantee you, when they call a trick play, everybody on the sideline gets up on, like everybody on the, you know, on the bench and hanging around gets up on the sideline to watch because they're excited. And they're excited for their teammates. And I said this on TV today, like the thing I love about sports, probably more than anything else, other than your own kids, it's the only place I've ever been in life where I root for the success of my teammate like it was my own.
Mm-hmm.
I root for my kids' success, man. I've never scored a touchdown, but I celebrated every one of those damn things like, yep, I scored it. Like, there's something special about being able to do that. And, you know, if somebody in your work, line of work, gets a promotion, you know, most people are pissed off about it. Like, I deserve that promotion. Like, not that guy. That guy doesn't do anything, right? Like, we really celebrate, yep, one another, yep, in sports.
Yep. Yep.
And it's beautiful. And I see that with the Detroit Lions all the time.
Oh, real quick, I want to get two thoughts on the same game. One, because you played for this team, you won a Super Bowl. It's a different name than when you won the Super Bowl in Washington. But you said earlier they were in the category of the Falcons. How serious are they? And whose fault was it on the damn Hail Mary? Because obviously some people want to blame Eberflus because he didn't rush another guy.
Yeah, well, the first thing I would say is the play before that, you allowed them free, yes, access to the,
yep,
sideline,
yep, yep,
to get 13 yards so they could get the – like, that's just stupid. Like, that's coaching 101. So, like, you can't allow that to happen. So that was a mistake. And then Tyreek Stevenson down there, he's supposed to be the guy boxing out Noah Brown. So he's over there jawing with the fans while the receivers are running down the football field. Then he runs over there, and he's out of position. He tips the ball up, and Noah Brown catches it. He's supposed to be back there boxing out. So, I mean, you know, just another man, boy, the Chicago Bears have three things stupid that happen.
Yeah, it's funny.
At least Anthony Richardson could go on the podium today and go, hey, man, what I said was really dumb, but it's not as dumb as the three things that went down in Chicago last weekend.
That is what I thought the second dumb thing you were going to say was, and you and Eberflus. I was like, oh, I thought you were going to talk about Tyreek Stevenson, who I guess there was even more dumb stuff in that game than we realized. Mark,
there was like, when I was sitting, I was actually, because I just got called, I called the Miami-Arizona game.
Right.
And so I was literally sitting watching that game in the United Club. And when that happened, I was like, I turned to my director who I was sitting with, and I'm like, what the hell did I just witness? I was like, what in the world are we doing? We're giving it to fat people. Like, you don't do that. What are we doing?
Hey, how did Tua look? Being there, being able to see him play.
He looked awesome, man. It was so fun to sit down with him, and you know, I've been all for him coming back and playing. You know, there's a lot of there's just a lot of the narrative out there of what's going on and the head trauma and all this stuff, and he was exceptional, man. He was like, it was like he didn't miss a day. There was the only rust was center quarterback exchange. He put one or two on the ground, and then there was a shotgun snap that he didn't handle, and that turned out to be a safety and really cost him the game. Mm-hmm. But when it came to throwing the ball, it was funny because as I prepped that game, I was just like, holy Moses. I was watching Miami, and everybody talks about, well, you know, Mike McDaniel didn't adjust his system, and he should have done. And I am watching it. One, you know, kind of the law of unintended consequences, they became a better running team while Tua was gone, while Tua was injured. So their run game really advanced. And then, two, there are dudes running wide open all over the place. And not to disparage the guys who were playing quarterback, but, like, there are dudes running, coming, breaking wide open all over the place. And those quarterbacks couldn't see it, couldn't understand it, couldn't get him the ball. So Tua came back in, and they really looked good. I mean, he really looked good. But that offense was back, and everybody was back and excited and standing around in practice and watching them practice. Man, the energy of that practice was exceptional. They had their guy back, and he's like a big time player for them, and they absolutely love him. And he's just so much fun to watch. So I really enjoyed that.
Mark, we appreciate it.
Mark.
Thank you.
You got it. Take care.
Right. Mark Schlereth there, Odyssey NFL Insider, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can find Hellman's at your local Walmart grocery store, Kroger, anywhere you get your groceries. Add a little extra deliciousness and flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Mark is also the host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's our Odyssey NFL Insider, and Insider calls are brought to you, as I mentioned, by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. We'll come back.
I always can't wait for you to say that.
It's my favorite part, too, of the whole week. We'll come back and get to an AMA. Any question, any topic. The phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Any question, any topic. We'll do our best to answer it after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org. The AMA to wrap the show up every single day. Two phone lines available if you want to jump on, 404-726-0929. We'll start with Zach and Gwinnett. Hey, Zach.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Zach.
So earlier this week, I had a business dinner and at a nice restaurant, you know, and one of the specials was kangaroo. Wow. And Randy,
yeah, good.
The hype is real.
Man, y'all kiss. Oh, boy, I'm about to cuss at you, Zach. ain't no hype real about nothing. Ain't no hype real about nothing. It's a damn kangaroo.
Randy,
it's a damn kangaroo.
It's like the best steak I've ever had, man.
It ain't steak. It ain't cow. It's kangaroo.
Well, you can have steaks of all kinds of different stuff.
No, you can't. No.
They call it all kinds of stuff steak.
No, they don't. No, they might call it that, but it ain't that.
It's like an ahi tuna steak.
No, it ain't. It's fish.
It doesn't have a family or a soul or anything.
Yeah, it does.
Well, it might.
It does. It's a kangaroo.
It might, but it tasted good. I enjoyed it.
It was great. Anyway, so I know we talk a lot, of, you know, about like the nicest this or that you've ever done. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of that, what's the like dingiest, shabbiest, rundown restaurant you've ever been to? Not the worst food, but just kind of like the biggest hole in the wall you've ever been to.
Yep.
Oh, man.
All right,
great.
Zach.
Oh, man.
I know mine.
What's that?
Doesn't exist anymore.
What's
it's
that?
Sad. It was a place called the Maharaja in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
It was an Indian restaurant
all
day
that, yeah.
until 10 p.m.
Right.
And then it became the greatest dive bar in the world.
Yeah, you said that about
$2 drinks all night long.
Man, I tell you.
And the samosas were pretty good, too. They had pretty good Indian food.
There was a spot. If you wanted, like, you had to be careful down in Liberty City, down in Miami, down in Liberty City. And it was just like this mom and pop hole in the wall. But they had the best damn conch fritters, poke sauce I've ever had in my damn life. Now it was all about you know, don't go around there messing around. Get you getting gone. But yeah, man, I'm talking about because I love if you can make poke sauce, and I love me some poke sauce. Love me some sauce.
What is that?
It's basically everything that's left over from the pig.
Okay.
You put into a
What's
stew.
The second word that you're saying? Like
sauce.
I don't know, like spell that.
S-O-U-S-E.
Okay.
Sauce.
Got
poke
it.
Sauce.
Got it.
Yeah, man. But let me some poke sauce. So yeah, that's probably the best way.
All right. There's a lot of really good Mexican restaurants attached to gas stations in Atlanta. Like some of the best tacos I've gotten in the city are like adjoining a Chevron. Uh-huh. They're killing it in there. So I don't know if that counts. I don't want to disparage those places. They're good places, but they are kind of holes in the walls of gas stations, and they're very good. Mike is in Atlanta. Hey, Mike.
All right, now, Randy, what's up? Welcome back, brother.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't give a damn about Halloween, so we're going to skip over and go to what we're doing at the houses on Thanksgiving. Now, if you can't do turkey wings, turkey legs, make some dressing out there, that turkey gizzards and heart, don't mess up that dressing. Right. No stuffing.
Yep.
No damn casseroles and no potato salad with pecans or raisins in it. Hell no.
You sound like my type of guy, Mike.
Yeah.
A lot of hate speech here, Mike. A lot of hate speech.
Hey, Randy, you remember that old man law commercial back in the day?
Yeah.
Don't you bring no damn bit in my house with fruit in it.
Yeah,
no,
man.
You going back out the house.
Yeah, man.
No.
Yeah.
No. And tell that lad, man, keep that damn kangaroo, too.
Yeah. You mean,
I'm out.
Man. All right, man. Yeah.
Y'all, all right. Me and Mike don't need to eat together.
Yeah.
Fine.
I mean, no. I'm just saying, like, don't call up here. All right, because one thing about it is, and Zach, he's one of my favorite listeners, and we appreciate him and everything. But don't come at me with no kangaroo. Like me and you ain't squared off. Me and you ain't squared away. You know, we still like we always at 100, but we will be at a 101 if you ain't eat that damn kangaroo.
That's the next level.
Yeah, if you ain't eat that kangaroo,
but I can't change
the
past.
I can't get over it.
Yeah,
I can't get over you eating kangaroo.
But I liked it,
and that's fine. That's fine.
It was good.
Would you eat it again?
Yeah.
Okay. See,
I would.
There we go.
I probably will. I probably will.
We'll never
someday.
Get the 101. We'll never get the 101. I feel a certain type of way about you eating a damn kangaroo.
It was good. It was so good.
You know what I saw the other day? I follow this dude on Instagram. He does like the he has like the big fryer thing. He drops and he cooked the damn snake on it, deep fried a snake. This man had bear shoulders. All right.
Huh.
Smoked bear shoulders.
Where do you even?
Where the hell do you get bear shoulders?
You gotta go get that yourself, right?
Like, I don't know. This dude was smoking bear shoulders.
Huh.
Like,
would you try it?
Hell no.
I think I would. I think I'd give it a shot.
Like, if I'm out there in the ice.
I know what you mean. Like, if you had to do it to survive. But, like, if there was a guy that brought over some bear shoulders and was like, hey, smoke these.
Yeah. There's no way in hell.
Give me a bite.
There's no way in hell.
Give it a shot.
That man was smoking bear shoulders, man. And was telling you how to season it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if he knows.
But I mean, the only way I eat a kangaroo if I'm like stranded in New Zealand somewhere and one run up on me ain't eating in a couple of days.
Or we're just down there at canoe.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to
right
snap
there on Chattahoochee.
I'm gonna have to get him in that soak hole, snap his neck, and gut him. And gut him.
And Mike, I don't know, Mike.
Mike got a lot of hostility.
Mike got a lot of hostility towards about 60% of the stuff that's on our Thanksgiving table. What's wrong with casserole? Nothing wrong with casserole. Devin's in Kansas City. Hey, Devin.
Hey, man. There was something I wanted to say with that whole kangaroo thing, but I'm gonna keep that one to myself, man. So, listen, I'm working with my partner, man. He's a Hispanic dude, and his wife trying to learn English, right?
Oh.
And he brought up some interesting stuff to me, like, why do Americans say words that have extra letters that you don't pronounce, like knife and stuff? I guess they learning, like, certain words, and
I'm
she brought
you.
Up knife.
Great question.
What
I'm
the
with
hell
you.
You need the K in that thing
I'm
for?
So with
not
you.
Sure.
I'm so with you, Devin.
Latin
so,
or something. So, I don't know.
That's a random question.
I'm with you on that.
I bet it's a really hard language to learn. Like, we got lucky and just got to learn it.
Yes.
But trying to learn English as a second language?
Because I know she's probably saying knife.
Yeah, knife. Of course. Why wouldn't you? There's a K in it.
Yes, I'm so with you. I'm so with you on that. Yeah. I don't like silent letters.
They're just sneaky.
Yeah, they are. I don't like
sneaky people or sneaky letters.
I do not like silent letters.
Well, what are you doing in there?
I would give you that. Why would you put it on there?
Also, I think everyone would be okay if everyone over time was just like, you know what, we're just going to get rid of that stuff. It's not going to be K-N-I-F-E anymore. It's just going to be N-I-F-E.
Yeah,
we're just going to spell it like that now.
Dude, one of my listeners sent it to us. This man got bash shoulders.
He looks like he knows what he's doing.
He got all that damn Old Bay seasoning on it. The hell out of here, man. Ain't no damn bad shoulder.
Is it Old Bay?
I like eating a horse leg. Like, what's to stop you from going to chop off a horse leg?
I know. What's you next? Know?
Horse is really tough.
Yeah, except,
that's why they make dog food out of it.
What you damn? You wanted to, God, dog, what were those people name in Game of Thrones?
Lannisters.
No, the one with the horse, the wild people.
Oh, the wildlings.
No, Khaleesi's people.
Oh, God, I don't remember.
The Dothraki?
The Dothraki.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you a Dothraki? You want some horses?
I think he'd like to be a Dothraki.
Yeah.
That would be pretty. I mean, if I had to live back in that day, sure, why not?
Hey, Oren.
Congratulations, my boy.
Congratulations, first and foremost. Do you eat pumpkin seeds? You ever had pumpkin seeds?
Oh,
okay,
damn,
there you go.
Damn, Oren, my bad.
No, that confirms.
I said, I bet Oren does.
Oh.
Yeah, my bad, Oren.
You haven't?
No.
He had one time.
Oh, yeah, okay, so Oren has, okay.
One and done. Guess he didn't go back.
Ain't no damn bass shoulder. No, no.
I'll eat some kangaroo with pumpkin seeds on the side.
There you go, There you go.
Let's get the takeaways of the day.
But how you know horse be tough? Did you eat some horse, Bo?
No, I haven't. That's just what I was told.
Oh.
Because I asked my parents back in the day, because we have horses.
People ate
horses, and my mom was like, no, the meat's too tough. They make dog food out of horses.
Hmm.
Or maybe one of our horses died, and I was like, are we going to eat it?
Okay.
And, you know, yeah.
According to Dave Archer, Aurora sucks up, guys.
We found another use for baby oil.
Yes.
Jail tattoos.
Yeah.
Prison tats.
So Takahashi 6'9 looks like he belongs in Super Mario World.
Yes.
And if you take money electronically, the IRS is going to come back and take your Ferrari from outside the trap house.
Yes.
The tattoos off your back and the stripper that you made it rain on.
Yeah, man. They're coming to get everything.
JP Morgan's coming for that money.
Coming for you.
You know why he's been rich that long? Because not getting jacked.
Dude, this dude was back, like, back in...
Well, he was a horse original. And buggy rich.
Yes. This dude built the frontier.
I'm pretty sure. And railroads, probably.
Yes. He financed the railroad.
We'll come back and see what Dukes and Bell have for you next. I know what they have for you next. They're in Flowery Branch. They're going to talk to Kirk Cousins today. We'll check in with them after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.